when I talk in public about the media and I ask him, what do you think of the media? People always come up with a negative, you know, some terrible thing, some terrible sort of shenanigan of a dubious journalist technique or something, all of which is terrible. Fake news absolutely needs to be combated. Oh. But what we're doing in community radio and this whole kind of grassroots approach and the training that we're offered is, and I could put this in huge academic tone, or I could just say, it's media with good stuff. And this is where we're using radio, we're using the media to achieve a huge social agenda and indeed help agendas that our society have to address and the government have to address, like loneliness, like isolation, like lack of skills and lack of opportunities. And if we are to live in a country where there are equal opportunities for all, I think community radio is almost leading the way because the barriers to entry are very low and it should be an open and inclusive environment. And I think with 286 stations kind of doing that, it's a wonderful sector to be working in. But you know what? It's only just beginning.
In Radio Conversations with Dom Chambers. Radio Today.
That was me talking recently on Ujima Radio's The Word with Miranda Ray. It was a wonderful conversation steered by Miranda between two people who share a passion for radio, but that passion serves to inform a vision of how we can use local radio for the public good, and even as an agent of social action. That conversation is this edition of the In Radio podcast. Hello, by the way, I'm Dom Chambers, and welcome to In Radio Conversations.
The In Radio podcast with Dom Chambers.
In Radio.
You're listening to Ujima 98 FM,
the heart of Bristol.
Write it down and pass it around.
You're in tune to The Word here on Ujima Radio 98 FM. Good afternoon. My name's Miranda. Here through till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hope you're going to stick around for another 36 minutes. Joining me in the studio now is, I almost don't know where to start. He's a broadcaster. He is a champion of community radio. He makes the occasional podcast for Radio Today. And he has just been announced as trustee for the Radio Academy. And it is the founder of Summer Valley FM. It is none other than Don Chambers. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Very nice to be here and also to put a face to the emails because we've been corresponding for a while, but we finally get to meet today and that's wonderful.
I know. I'm really excited to, A, have somebody who loves radio as much as I do, and B, somebody who has such a vast sort of understanding of community radio as well, which is something I'm relatively new to. I say that. It's been 4 years, but really in the last year I've got sort of behind the scenes of community radio, and for me there's just no turning back. I am absolutely committed to community radio. What about yourself? How did it all come about?
Well, like you, it starts with a passion for radio.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my childhood in the 70s, early 80s, and it was pretty, I mean, if you wanted to connect with the outside world, you know, that world beyond the end of your street or beyond the end of the field that you could see, the only way of really doing that was, particularly for those of us who were sent to bed before the Sweeney came on the telly, was radio. And Radio Luxembourg, you know, and we carried on listening to Radio Luxembourg long after Radio 1 started. And I don't know why, but I think for me there was a sort of exoticness about the fact that Radio Luxembourg wasn't in the UK. I mean, it came from somewhere else, and that in itself was really exciting. So it was a fascination with beyond the horizon, beyond the natural parameters of where, you know, my childhood life was. And in terms of a career decision, that came much later. I managed to get through the whole of school and indeed university without ever once thinking, oh, I might need to decide what to do for a living.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So how on earth did it happen? How did you get into radio? I mean, were you going to be sort of like a scientist and then suddenly you fell into radio? Or do you think it was something that was inevitable?
I love the idea that I might have been a scientist. This will come as a tremendous surprise to anyone who had the miserable experience of trying to teach me science at school. I was more of an arts person, really. And I did a history degree because, partly because I couldn't think of anything else to do, but also I was really in the business of educating myself. And they were very good to me at the University of Surrey. They were very, very tolerant. This is before the stresses of student fees and all that sort of thing. And I just used that time to get out there and experience what life was like in the UK. I just had conversations, you know, be up in Manchester and Liverpool and York and Scotland or wherever, and just chatting to people. But anyway, finally, the great day came. and an invitation to a degree ceremony, which I sort of promptly ignore because, I mean, I've always regarded the awarding of a degree from the University of Surrey as an act of supreme generosity on their behalf because I really didn't deserve it. I think I got it first in the degree of life, perhaps, as a sort of coined a corny phrase. But in terms of actual university, I mean, I would turn up once every 4 months and make a pertinent remark about Bismarck's foreign policy in 1885 and then sort of get on my motorbike and go off to do something else. And at the end of all this, I thought, oh, my word, you know, I've got to get this the time to work. And I knew how to decorate, and I'd actually started decorating because I'd been to art college, you see, and I developed a thing painting murals, particularly for children in homes and that kind of stuff. And I found there was more money in actually sort of preparing the room for the mural before the thing. So I developed decorating skills, but I thought, well, I might need to do something else as well. So I rang my friend Bill Coles, who was just starting on his own slippery slope of journalism, and he sort of rose to working directly under the editor of The Sun, whose name I completely have gone blank on, Kavanagh. Anyway, he was starting out local journalism, and I said, can we have a pint, you know, and talk about it? And he brought his then-girlfriend along, who was a radio producer, and it was like that kind of moment of Saul on the road to Damascus, and this sort of great cloud and thunderclap happened, and a voice from above and a sort of Monty Python-type pointed finger came out of the cloud and said, you will be a radio presenter. And then having decided that that's what I wanted to do, I then rigidly stuck to it, because I think you do need that kind of perseverance in this pretty precarious game.
You really do. I mean, anything to do with the kind of media industry, these overnight successes don't exist. There's a presenter here, Onujima, who I can't say too much. She just says she's got a break, and it's a phenomenal break. And she has worked so incredibly hard for it. She's very proactive. She's there whenever we need help. You know, she puts in the hours well beyond anybody else, and she's worked hard for it, and she deserves it. And I think that's the kind of the key, isn't it? When you really, really want something, you've just got to put everything into it, and it sounds like you did.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, because I run employability projects and do a lot with young people who are just kind of finding their way in the world, and I think it starts with the dream, but you can't just hang around waiting for someone to discover your immense talent. You've got to... We all have a little bit of luck in life. We also have some bad stuff as well to deal with. But you can put yourself in a place to be lucky, hopefully. So in my case, I rang up the hospital radio. There wasn't really community radio in the way that we know it now, and there wasn't the student radio.
Well, no, it was pirate or hospital, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, you know? Yeah. And I didn't really have access to the... I was a bit legit for pirates. Yeah, when I left uni, I actually became an event manager. In those days, rather excitingly, we called it party organising. Which led to a moment when I was arriving in America, and you know how strict they are about letting people in. And so they said, do you have an occupation, Mr. Chambers? And I said, yes, I'm a party organizer, thinking this was a perfectly natural thing to say. And they looked very concerned, and you could almost see hands disappearing under tables to press buttons that are unseen to the surface. And then this question slowly came back, said, and what is the political nature of the party that you organise?
Oh, God.
They just about let me in.
What a brilliant story. We're going to have to take a break for the news. We're going to come back and keep talking to you. I want to talk about a little bit about community radio, because I know you've been championing it for many, many years. You were on the council for the Community Media Association, yep. I believe, for at least 5 years.
Yep.
So I really want to talk to you a bit about that, if that's okay. Stick around.
Yep.
Fantastic. We're speaking to Dom Chambers, who is a fellow radio geek, shall we say. You're listening to The Word here on Ujima, and we'll be back shortly.
In Radio, conversations with Dom Chambers.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Word here on Ujima Radio 98 FM. My name's Miranda, and it's good to have your company today. Hey, listeners, we're talking radio today. And joining me in the studio, I want to welcome back Dom Chambers. He's an advocate champion of community radio. He's been working in radio since, what did we say, 1990?
I finally joined a hospital radio in 1990, that was it.
1990, so why hospital radio?
Because that was it. I mean, in terms of where I didn't, you know, do a radio degree or any of the media type stuff you can do these days.
Well, that wasn't around, was it?
No. I mean, I was a live DJ, to which I always think, you know, what's a dead DJ? But that's what I did. I did parties, I did clubs and stuff. And I got to, like, the talky bits. And so hospital radio was really the only outlet. Yeah. And I'll forever be grateful for that. But quite rightly, in hospital radio, it's got to be more than just somebody developing their skills and their love of radio. and I went into St George's in Tooting, massive great NHS hospital, and we used to go out on awards. Now, having been in hospital myself as a patient a few years ago, 2014, and I could see how important it was for those who are lonely, mercifully for me this was not the case, but for those who are lonely, to get visitors and to get kind of engagement and interaction. And I very much learnt that about hospital radio, that you could be using the radio. The radio was more than great music or a good voice. It could have a higher purpose. And I'm kind of rationalising this now. I don't think I would have been thinking that way at the time. But looking back on it, the idea of using radio to connect and engage and do something really positive in society was very much emerging out of hospital radio. I had to wait a few more years for the world to change, for the world to come round, I think, to me. And I did my time in commercial radio and BBC Networks. And I would say that my career at that point was decidedly underwhelming. But, you know, I learned so much and I made great contacts as well. And again, you know, in those days, turning up to the BBC, I had the right raincoat on, I think. And basically, they said, oh, come in, you know. And then, frankly, not to put too fine a point on it, on my first day at BBC Cornwall, I totally lied through my teeth because the editor, the senior editor, said, anyone know anything about cricket? And I went, oh, yes, I do, sort of eager to sort of, you know, I was there to shadow the breakfast show host, right? And then shadowing is exciting for a full 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you want to do something. And then you've got to, you know, think, well, I'm here for a limited period, so I've got to sort of make my mark. Anyway, they gave me the journalist who was commenting on the test match at Lord's. And so I wrote this incredibly detailed report. And I then rather cheekily went to the editor and I said, listen, this is what I've done. They said, oh, it's very good. And I said, can I read it out? So I was on the Drive Time show that day on my first day.
That's amazing. Well done. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well, it's funny how you just kind of have to put yourself into these positions and take a chance, because we didn't have those colleges. We don't. The music unis and those amazing places that are around now weren't around when we were young. And I remember actually saying on my first show on the radio that I had had experience and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was just so determined that this is what I wanted to do. I'd worked behind in the scenes in radio for a couple of years. So my first break was actually, I was a party planner, except I wasn't a party planner. I used to organise raves.
Right.
And that was kind of my background. We're in the Southwest. We used to do outside parties. And so my first job in radio was running the promotions department because they recognised those skills. And so it wasn't until Femme FM, the UK's first all-female radio station, I got a chance to actually be on air. And then things just snowballed from there. It was really exciting. Great. I've had an amazing career in radio.
Yeah.
I'm lucky enough to work on Radio 5, to have the show on Galaxy for many years. But doing community radio, I've just fallen in love with it. I've fallen in love with that, the freedom to do programmes and create programmes that perhaps you can't do, which you can't do on commercial radio, for sure. But I'm lucky enough to have had the experience, as you have, with BBC and commercial. But my love now I've seen community radio, there is no going back.
But when I say that I was waiting for the world to sort of come round, I think the broadcast legislation of 2003 that created licensed community radio was, and I didn't know about it. In fact, do you know, I this is a bit of a confession. I didn't know what community radio was when I applied for the job at Summer Valley FM. But I soon found out. Now, I thought it was an educational project, and I still consider it as an educational project. But just on that kind of the value of community radio, from those of us who love radio, I mean, there's all sorts of other values we want to talk about. But the thing about community radio is that, generally speaking, it's volunteers. I mean, we have a rule at Summer Valley FM that nobody is paid to present. And that includes me and anyone else who has a sort of salary position to do business administration, to do sales or whatever it is. And I think that creates an atmosphere that everybody is there for the sheer love of radio and love of their communities and love of all sorts of things. But the love of radio is at the heart of it. So no one's there to pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
And it's quite right that people who work professionally in radio do get to pay their mortgage. So, you know, I'm not dissing on that. But we saw that controversy and the difference between gender wages and various other paid-for networks, shall we say. And I thought, well, what a terrible atmosphere in the office that day.
Yeah.
I mean, all those months, really. So everybody in community radio, and certainly at Summer Valley FM, are there as volunteers.
Yeah, it's the same here at Ujima. Yeah. No presenters are paid. We all do it voluntary and because we love it, and there's nothing quite like it. So when I was in, and I had this wonderful career, and I was doing Radio 5 and Galaxy, and I took some time out, and I lived abroad, and I had my son, and then I came back, and then in this 10 years, there had been this amazing thing that had happened. Mm. So, you know, we'd had our pirate stations and the DTI didn't like it. And it seemed to me that there had been this conscious decision to embrace what new equipment we have. If you think back in the 25, 30 years ago, to set up a radio station would cost a quarter of £1 million to have a studio to broadcast standard. You know, but now anybody can make a podcast or present a radio show, and it has made it more accessible. Do you think that's what made it easier for community radio to come to life?
Yeah, I'm certain the advance of technology has made it easier. But I'm also certain that there were some great visionaries at the Community Media Association in the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. Tessa Jowell, a wonderful supporter of community radio in its licensed format. So I think we do have to thank that particular government for, you know, the creation of what's turned out to be much bigger, perhaps, and therefore one might argue more successful. And I think people were thinking in terms of, I don't know, 50, 60 community stations. And here we are, you know, 286 radio stations, community radio stations, or I would say local radio stations broadcasting under the community license, are broadcasting in the UK right now. Now, there's around 300 commercial radio licenses, and they are, as we know from, you know, reading the stories in the last few weeks, pretty well all now under the ownership of a couple of organisations. There's a few independents left, but not many.
No.
And there's 39 BBC local radio stations.
That's right, yeah.
Here in the UK. So suddenly this landscape that once upon a time was only the BBC. The BBC launched local radio in the late 1960s, and then along came a government that believed that it needed to open it up to a more kind of competitive environment. So that was saw the creation of commercial radio in, I think, 1973 with the arrival of LBC, a wonderful name in broadcasting, LBC and Capital.
Yeah.
And then much, much later, the community licence came about in the earlier part of the last decade. But actually, most community radio stations in the UK are under 10 years old.
Yes, that's right. And it's all just happened in this time that I was being a mum, and I came back, and it was taking me a while to kind of get my head around it. But I had no idea there was that many. 286 community radio stations in the UK. That's phenomenal, isn't it?
It is, and there's another 30-odd sort of preparing to come online at any moment. And I think one of the reasons why this has been such a success is the idea, I mean, with community radio licences, unlike the BBC and unlike the commercial radio licences, what you might call doing good in the community is ingrained in the licence process, and they're called key commitments.
We're going to talk more about that very shortly. We're going to take a bit of a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to have a little last chat with you, Dom, and then we're going to hear from Top Dog, aren't we, Top Dog? And we'll find out what he thought of today's show. He's going to review it for us. He'll probably just go, yeah, it's great, isn't it? No, I'm very joking. You're listening to The Word here on Ujima Radio, and coming up soon, check this. In radio. I'm very happy and very excited to welcome back to the studio. It is none other than Top Dog. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good, you?
Yeah, good. Really great fun to have you on the show again. So you always do a bit of a review of the show. Now, tell me, what did you think of today's show?
Well, as always, the show is always great, but my favourite pick of the day is Dom. It's been really interesting to hear someone else's story of how they got into radio and how much they like community radio.
It's great, isn't it? It is really great. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about today. Thank you, Top Dog. I look forward to having you back on the show very soon. So, Dom, we were talking about community radio and how we kind of got into it. So, for you, it isn't just about the radio, is it? It's more to do with the skills and the skill set that can maybe empower you. Would you put it like that?
Certainly the word empower is so important, because you're empowering people with a voice and you're empowering people with skills. It's not just the voice to tell stories and the platform to tell stories, but the skills to tell those stories. And I think that's really crucial. But those skills are also the skills that we all, if you think about it, right, the transformation between childhood and adulthood is largely about getting a bunch of confidence together, is it not? And we all need to develop that confidence. And sometimes we have confidence and we can lose it because we've been made unemployed or something gone wrong in life. And I think the training that is offered in community radio is very different in different parts of the country, in different stations. But this can have a huge array of outcomes and benefits that help people with their mental well-being. It can indeed combat well-being challenges around anxiety, around depression and these kinds of things. And in fact, I set up a charity, the Summer Valley Education trust to target specific groups like autism, like people in recovery from dependency, like adults with learning disabilities, like school kids who are looking for a kind of practical skills-based learning environment. And so we're taking all that a bit further. And I think the fact that when I talk in public about the media, and I ask him, what do you think of the media? People always come up with a negative, you know, some terrible thing, some terrible sort of shenanigan of a dubious journalist technique or something, all of which is terrible. Fake news absolutely needs to be combated. Oh. But what we're doing in community radio and this whole kind of grassroots approach and the training that we're offered is, and I could put this in huge academic tome, or I could just say, it's media with good stuff. And this is where we're using radio, we're using the media to achieve a huge social agenda. And indeed, help agendas that our society have to address and the government have to address, like loneliness, like isolation, like a lack of skills and lack of opportunities. And if we are to live in a country where there are equal opportunities for all, I think community radio is almost leading the way, because the barriers to entry are very low and it should be an open and inclusive environment. And I think with 286 stations kind of doing that, it's a wonderful sector to be working in. But you know what? It's only just beginning.
It really is. And do you know what? It really touches me to hear you say that, because it does kind of remind me how much community radio has helped me. Yes, I had this amazing, fantastic career, but I actually had some really horrible things happen to me, which is why I left my amazing, successful career. And I never thought I'd actually have the confidence to return. And that's what Ujima has done for me. Right. They've given me that platform to find myself again, to find that confidence, and to get out there and be a Miranda again.
Yeah.
And that's really fantastic. And for the opportunity for me to Skillshare what I have learned over the last 25 years with other people, I don't want the big break anymore. I would just like to stay here in Skillshare, and I love it. It's fantastic.
And a fine job, and you and Top Dog are doing.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's fantastic. We love it. We almost run out of time. Dom, I could literally talk to you all day. The next time you're in Bristol, you pop in.
Certainly will.
That'd be absolutely fantastic. So we can catch you. Just remind us where we can listen to you on the radio.
Well, I'm on the In Radio podcast, which you can get off Radio Today, and I'm frequently on Summer Valley FM, unsurprisingly, and also occasionally on BBC Bristol and BBC Somerset.
Brilliant. So, Dom Chambers, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a real privilege. Great privilege.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
In Radio, conversations with Dom Chambers.
Really grateful to Miranda there for inviting me onto the programme. And you can hear the word at 4 o'clock on a Friday on Ujima Radio. Ujima, of course, is an awesome community broadcaster based in Bristol. And that is a favourable opinion I share with many people here in the West Country, and indeed beyond. Stands to reason, really. They were Radio Station of the Year 2016 in the Community Radio Awards. And that brings this edition of the In Radio podcast to a close, and this particular strand, the In Radio Conversations. Always welcome feedback and ideas for new podcasts. You can get hold of me at Radio Today or tweet at the Dom Chambers. Until next time.